Once again, in fact, I wanted to remind you before I read the gospel and I forgot. Jesus addressed those words to us right now. He knew who would be here, and he knew what he wanted to say through these words to every one of us, and to us as a group, as a part of the community. And so, after looking quickly at the first two readings, we should, once again, we've heard this whole section. We heard it on Friday, and again this morning. In the book of Acts, as you know, we have the story of the risen Christ living in his disciples. We call it the Acts of the Apostles, taking a name that was common in Hellenistic culture for many things like this. But this isn't really the Acts of the Apostles. This is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this situation here, which doesn't seem to be particularly edifying to begin with. The Hellenists complained against the Jews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So there's a problem. Now, it's important to grasp this. We are in the ideal model community. Those who have just seen Jesus rise from the dead, go to heaven, have just received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and within a few weeks or months, there's a problem. Now, how do you solve the problem? This is where you see the presence of the Lord. Problem? He didn't say that we were in heaven. We're weak, we're stupid, we're sinful, we got problems. How do you solve them? In the power of the presence of Jesus Christ. So the 12 called the whole community together. They didn't say, let's go in a corner and solve this. They said, come together, community. It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men, filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and the service of the word. That's our call. The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we don't know whether he ever got around to caring for the distribution of the food to the widows. We do know that he preached and that he was the first martyr. Philip, and you heard the names. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them, ordained them. What a powerful gesture, huh? Twice in first in the letters to the Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, pay attention to the grace that happened to you through the word of prophecy. That is, you were picked out by a word of prophecy and the laying on of hands, which happens to this day. A man may present himself for ordination, but unless the church approves through a word of discernment, of prophecy, hands will never be laid on him. The word of God continued to spread, and now you see. The Lord present in his community brought the community together and solved the problem, and because of that, the word of God continued to spread. And the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. And even a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. That's showing you the life of Christ in the community, in its limitation, weakness, blindness, the life of Christ shining through. Then Peter says, you come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, the house of God, the temple. And because I want to work a bit on the gospel, I'm going to leave it to your pleasure to reread that and hear it. You know, he's telling us we're a temple. Every one of us is a necessary stone in that temple. And then we have the gospel. Why does our Lord start by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me." Why does he say that? Well, you can say, historically, John has placed this just before the Passion. So he's trying to console them and strengthen them for what they're going to live through in the next few hours, seeing him arrested, beaten, tortured, and killed, and buried. Okay, what about us? This text is addressed to us now. Vatican Council tells us that, right? And whenever the gospel is read, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Why is he saying that to us today? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. Every one of us will have to take that and hear it. And as a group, as a community, we have to take that and hear it. Don't be troubled. I am equal to the Father. You have faith in God, my Father, have faith in me. I am equal to him. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. It's amazing how the fathers of the church, when they get to this text, which is, you know, still baffled people 2,000 years later, he probably means every person, I've got a place for you. Don't be troubled. I have a place for you. It's waiting for you. Listen to me. Obey me. Move with me. I have a place for you. It's a heavenly place. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself. That's a promise. The Lord is saying to every one of us, you will die one day, sooner or later, you don't know. But that's the moment when I come back. I have great respect for the laws of human nature, even the ones that bear the stamp of sin, like death. And I will come back and I will take you to myself. Don't worry. Now, if we could let that word resound in us, we would stop worrying. Pretty simple, isn't it? Son of God is telling us, don't worry, so why are we worrying? Because we don't take them seriously. We don't say, Jesus told me, don't worry, I'm not going to worry. And then he tells us, where I'm going, you know the way. And knowing that that wouldn't make any sense to us at all, John records the first conversation, where it didn't make any sense to Thomas either. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answers, I'm the way. Walk with me, follow me, walk in my footsteps, live like I live, obey my Holy Spirit, I am the way. And as you do that, you make your way to my Father. In this life already, you make your way to my Father. I'm the way. I am the truth. For this I was born, he tells Pilate. For this I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. He tells the Jews who had believed in him and were falling away in chapter 8. You know, if you hear my word and let it abide in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth, and two or three lines later, and the Son will make you free. Ah, now you know who the truth is. The truth is Jesus, the revelation of the Father. He says to us tonight, let me work in your life. Don't get distracted. Don't get bored. Don't get hot. Listen to me. Obey me. What I have for you is beyond imagination. I want to bring you to the Father so that there your spirit will expand and rejoice in a way you cannot imagine when you see the Father. I'm the life. I live, now not I. Christ lives in me, here and forever. I'm the life. It's important, you know. A good friend of mine happens to head up the Liberal Party in Canada. Just had a stroke. Not a terrible one, but a stroke. And the reason? She was trying to lead the party back into some semblance of truth, and they all ganged up on her. She must be about 60, I guess. The Lord is saying, you see, I'm the life. Walk with me. You will know the Father, and you will have life. I just got the phone call before I came over here. So it's on my mind, but I'm thinking, here's a person who said, I have to stand for reality. I have to stand for justice. And she took the hit. And Jesus is proud of her. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. You might want to sit on the floor, breathe deep, cut your carrots in 45-degree angles, and sing Om Shanti Om Shanti Om, or whatever you'd like to do, but I'll promise you this, it will never get you to the Father. I'm the way. I'm the way. How narrow-minded of Jesus. No, you enter that narrow way, and the whole world is before you. If you know me, then you'll know my Father. And now the challenge comes. Do I know Jesus? I guess a little bit. I've been trying and trying to pray every day. Do I know the Father? Ask him, Jesus, take me to the Father you promised. I want to know him. Now we all do in some way. But I'd like to know him better. And then we have finally, and Philip, as I mentioned this morning, Philip prays like Moses prayed, let me see your glory, that will be enough. Philip says, let me see your glory, Lord. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? Now, before you go to bed tonight, ask yourself, do I believe that Jesus is in the Father and the Father? Do I even know what it means? Of course, I'm going to say yes, it's in the Bible. I'm not going to say no. But has my mind advanced 1/4 inch after having said that? Do I know? It says here, you know, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father? Does that have any content for me? This is where God blesses restlessness. I'm so happy to hear these words. The Lord said, I don't care if you're happy. I want to know if you understand them. Do you understand? He wants to show us something. This is important. We have a mind. Wouldn't it be great to take these words and recite them every day for the next 6 months until they finally click? Until we experience what it means to know the relationship between the Father and the Son and have our breath taken away. And then finally, this thing about the works. The Father does his works in me, and he still does his works in me. And that's why I give them for you to do. And you do greater works. Because the works of my Father, done by me, reveal who I am and the presence of the Father in me. But now that I'm risen from the dead and my whole humanity is divinized, these works are a greater revelation than when I did them. So you can do greater works. Understand? If somebody were sick here and we prayed over them and the Lord healed them, that's a greater work than Jesus did, if in and through it people can see the Father at work in the risen and glorious and deified humanity of Jesus, now present in his church. I live, now I, Christ lives in me. And why is all this going to happen? Because, as I just said, I go to the Father. I go now, I will be, as I pass through this cross, the vision of which fills me with revulsion, but I'm going through it because I love you and I love the Father. And then I go to the Father. And now that I'm with the Father and my humanity is there, your humanity can be open to the Holy Spirit. So just wait a few days, and you, now that your humanity has been made apt by my resurrection, you will receive the blessed Holy Spirit. And then it'll all start to make sense.